Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all and to welcome you into this place this morning. Our Corps Sergeant Major John is still testing positive to COVID. I think today's on his 15th day. He's feeling fine, I understand. Our Rosie's just arrived. And I think he's going a little bit cabin crazy, is he?
Yes.
Yeah. I expect he would be. So let's keep him in our prayers. He's well, but he's being cautious. Our worship this morning will be followed by tea and coffee. There will be no open air at the Triangle. Tomorrow being a bank holiday, there will be no Sally Wags or food bank tomorrow. Yeah, I've got that right. Sally Wags, parent and toddlers, or food bank tomorrow. And the rest of the weekly programme, as far as I'm aware, will run as printed. Next week, in our absence, our worship will be led by Julia and Claire. And that's something to look forward to, I've got no doubt. Next, one practical one. We would like to bring to your attention that a new addition to the Corps website has been made. And we thank Adrian Aldis for all his hard work and extensive research in writing up a history of the Corps. And that's now available on the Corps website, felixsa.org.uk. And if you click on the Corps history button, you'll be able to read up on the history of the Corps. That's interesting, isn't it? If you're that way inclined, I am. I am. It's evidence of God's faithfulness and evidence of people's response to his ongoing calling to be his people in this place. Finally, I have some good news to share. And this is from Dennis Versey. Dennis and family, thank you all for your kind inquiries, best wishes and prayers for Neil's recovery, which have been answered. Neil has now almost fully recovered from his life-threatening injury sustained in his motorcycle accident 12 months ago and is now able to return to work. Once again, yeah, it's good news, isn't it? Once again, the good Lord has shown his love and healing power, and we give him grateful thanks and praise. Excellent news, Dennis, and we know an answer to prayer as well. When we arrived, things were complicated, and it's good to see that Neil is doing far better and getting back to work. So, God bless you all, and God bless Neil. Finally, the Household Troops Band are coming to Felixstowe on the 15th of July. The concert will be in this hall at 7 p.m. and tickets are now on sale. They're available from Andy at a cost of £10. The Household Troops Band. And money raised will be going towards local scouts attending the 25th World Scout Jamboree in South Korea. Sounds like a good evening, doesn't it? So tickets are available from Andy. The poster's up at the back and leaflets are available as well. So let's try and fill the hall out for the scouts. Right, I'm going to take off my Sergeant Major hat now. And this is, I'm back to me. Today in the Salvation Army is Candidate Sunday. And this is when we invite people to consider how God might be calling them. And we want to encourage people, you, us all, really, to enter into leadership. So calling, really, is what's going to be shaping our worship this morning, and it's what will shape my message later. Candidate Sunday. It strikes me that it doesn't strike me, it's verifiable. There's a shortage of officers in this territory. You might be surprised to hear that having both Lisette and I in this appointment is, in actual fact, a blessing. Some might view it differently. But even if we just look around, you know, if we look around our core, leaders are short. I see plenty of quality people in this congregation. Leaders are short. So that's why that's how we approach this. We don't approach it saying, oh, well, officer, I'm too old for officership. Or, no, that's not my calling. Officership is someone else's problem. Not true. Leadership is the church's problem, regardless of how we conceive of it. Lovely. Shall we get going? The band introduced us to our opening song this morning. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. And that's the foundation, I think, of our living, isn't it? The great things that God has done. And in many respects, these things that God has done through Jesus Christ provide us with a springboard to then live transformed lives for God's glory. So let's stand, if we're able, and join together in singing this song. Take your seats. You're in good voice this morning. The band's in good breath. So that's a good sign. It's a good place to start. I think I would start every meeting with that song, given the choice, really. A song full of hope. A song full of hope for everyone. That what Jesus has done, he has done even for the vilest offender, to use the words of that song. He's done it for us all. And we have great hope also of a future spent with him because of what Jesus has done. So in response to that, well, what can we do? Well, we love Jesus, we love God in return. And we're going to sing a simple song right now, simple chorus, a Salvation Army chorus written by Commissioner Keith Banks. Lord, how I love you. You have done so much for me. Lord, how I love you. You have done so much, so very, very much for me. So I invite you to sing these words in an attitude of gratitude and of thanksgiving for all of these wonderful and great things that God has done. And once we've sung the chorus, I think we'll have a little bit of silence. And I'll leave it to you to express your thanksgiving to God this morning. Thank you, Glennis. Glennis is going to continue playing, and I wonder if you can take these moments to close your eyes and focus on this God who has done so very, very much for each of us. And I wonder though if you could be a little bit more specific in your hearts and minds. I'm not asking you to speak out, but what are these things that God has done for you? Name them, count them, as the song says, and express your thanks to him this morning. Heavenly Father, we are a thankful people, we are a grateful people because of what you have done for us. You gave your Son that we might be in right relationship with you. You gave our Son so that we could be cleared of our wrongdoing. And you lavish us with your love. You're not a distant God. You seek to be close to us, your creation. So we thank you this morning for that love, for your grace, for the joy and for the hope that we find in you. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. You do not abandon us. And even though at times we have doubted you, or we have looked elsewhere, or we've taken the wrong turn, you have remained with us. Your love has remained with us. This morning, Lord, we meet on this Candidate Sunday, and we are very aware all over the church, particularly in the West, of the shortage of vocations, Lord. And we pray for a renewal of your Holy Spirit and an outpouring of your grace, that leaders would arise, that they would arise out of love for you and out of love for your people. This morning, Lord, we give thanks for Neil Versey and his recovery. And we pray, Lord, that he would go from strength to strength. We rejoice that he's heading back to work today, and that's great news. We give you thanks for the NHS and the treatment he has received in various parts of this country. Lord, and we pray that Neil would know this morning that we have thought of him. And we pray, Lord, that you would impart in him a sense of your love this morning particularly. We continue to hold the Smith and Williams family in our prayers, Lord. Comfort them. Fill them with your love. And in these dark times, shine the light of your hope upon them. We pray for John this morning, John Ellison. You know how much serving you matters to him. And you know how hindered he is feeling at these moments. So we pray, Lord, for a prompt recovery and some negative tests. Lord, I was thinking this morning, over these last couple of days rather, that the Ukraine has fallen off our news radar, so to speak. So, Lord, we continue to pray for that war-ravaged country, Lord. And we pray, as always, that your will be done, that justice will prevail. Lord, we know that you don't take sides, Lord, in these conflicts, but we do know that you take the side of that which is right. And we pray for a peaceful outcome. Lord, this morning we ask that you would speak to us, that through your Holy Spirit you would minister your grace, and that as we leave this place, that we leave this place knowing that we are called by you to be your people, to be agents of your love, to be instruments of your peace in this world. Lord, may you challenge us to understand that our worship of you starts when we leave these four walls. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. Challenge us, inspire us, embolden us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Children, young people, do you want to come up and see me? Or maybe you don't. Maybe they're like, oh, we know this guy. We know this guy. What's going to do today? If so, could you please tell me, maybe Ina or Camille, you'll remember better, and Felicity as well, what did we talk about last week? So what we did is, I had two jars, didn't I? I had two jars, and I was trying to make an egg float in the jar, didn't I? And we found that when there was loads of salt in the water, the egg... You salt stuffy, look at this hatch. Whoa, look at that. And we found that when... You're telling me you're listening very carefully. We found that when we had loads of salt in the water, the egg floated, didn't we? If there was no salt in the water, the egg just dropped to the bottom. And we remember that Jesus told us to be what?
said that that means that we've got to be people who help others, that support others. In that very same passage, Jesus says to be the light of the world. In another translation, it says to bring out the colours in the earth. Now, I know that some of the mums of the children here present went to a disco, sinful disco, last week, and they came back with some of these, didn't they? What are these? Don't put in your mouth, okay? Don't put in your mouth. These are glow sticks, and what do glow sticks do? That one looks rubbish, doesn't it? Is it? And what the glow sticks do? No, this is just a piece of tube. Actually, that's just a tube all the way together. And so is this. And what happens with glow sticks? Come on, let me see. What happens with glow sticks? And they glow. And they make things more colourful. So when the mums the other night, some of the mums were at this disco, doing worldly things and dancing. they had their glow sticks, and I saw that Lisette came back with kind of like glow stick glasses and a glow stick ball. But why did they do that? What do the glow sticks do in the dark? They glow. They bring light. They bring colour. They make things interesting, don't they? They make things that are kind of fun, even more fun. So that's what Jesus says to us. He says, go and be the light of the world. He says, bring out the God colours in the world. So that's what I want you to be. I want you to go to school. I want you to go to explorers. I want you to go to all the, you go dancing, all that kind of stuff. I want you to go out there and to be colourful, to bring out the best in the world, to be light and to show people the way to God. Does that sound realistic?
Yes.
Does that sound feasible? Is that something you can do? Can you bring out the colours in the world? I tell you what, take another glow stick. Don't crack it today. Take a glow stick and take it with you. And during the week, hopefully that will remind you to be the light of the world and to bring out the God colours in everything that you do. Thank you very much, guys, for listening so carefully. I won't see you next week. I'm going to miss you. But I'll see you the week after, okay? Take care, and God bless you all. You can go back to your seats.
Next song this morning is Over All the Earth, and we're going to sing Lord, Reign in Me. Over all I am, over all my dreams, Lord, reign in me. And I hope that that's your prayer for yourself. I hope it's a reality for many of us, that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns supremely in everything that we are and in everything that we do. Let's stand, if we're able, of course, and sing together.
Rain in me, rain in your heart.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. Of all the praise and worship songs of that kind of variety, in many ways that one strikes me as being the most salvationist of them all. It really does. Yes, but that'll be about copyright then, won't it? Lord, reign in me over all that I am. That to me sounds like holiness over all of my dreams. That sounds like me, to me, like holiness. And if there's anything that the Salvation Army is about, it's holiness. And that's the one that we don't like to talk about too much because it involves people making difficult choices and decisions. Maybe. You can take that one with you and challenge me when you want. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate everything you do. And we're equally appreciative of the band, actually. I don't compliment the band very often. I compliment the songsters, because the songsters are doing this, in my estimation, at the minute. Because of what they bring to our worship. But the band are going to bring to us a lovely arrangement. I know thou art... What? Well, the songsters are doing this and the band are doing that. Well, you said it. You said it. Do something about it then. I know thou art mine. And after the band is played, Christine is going to come up and share with us a prayer for King Charles. I know thou art mine.
Before we pray, can I just say, it's lovely to be back with you all. We've been away for 2 weeks, and we went to a church in the village that where we were on holiday in Scotland, and there were no more than 8 in the congregation. So it's just wonderful to come back and see you all and hear the band. And I think they're wonderful in my estimation. And it's just lovely to see the children and everybody with smiles on their face. So, thank you. Now, let us pray for our King and for the enormity of the role that he has committed himself to yesterday. Gracious God, we pray for King Charles in this time of sadness and sorrow. We pray that he might know your presence with him. Grant to him time to reflect and rest, and may he know your peace. We thank you for him, and we ask that as you were with his mother, so you might lead and bless him. We thank you for the gifts you have given him and the years of public service he has already given. May he have wisdom in his decision making, enable him to lead well, and give him advisors of insight and integrity. Give him the energy he needs, and may he be a voice for hope and justice. May he run the race well and point others to the love of God. Lord, bless King Charles in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was watching it in the background, and throughout I was thinking, well, yeah, this guy needs God with him, doesn't he, really? And with these kind of commitments and covenants, really, into which he has entered. We'll hear the Bible reading very shortly, but before that we'll hear the songsters, who are going to bring to us vision and mission. vision and mission. Libby, I was trying to save you back and forth by announcing the Bible reading before, but I failed. We'll have the Bible reading now.
The Bible reading this morning is taken Philippians chapter 1, and it's verses 6 to 11, and I'm reading from the Voice translation. I am confident that the Creator, who has begun such a great work among you, will not stop in mid-design, but will keep perfecting you until the day Jesus, the Anointed, our liberating King, returns to redeem the world. It is only right that I should feel such admiration for you all. You hold me close to your hearts. And since we are partners in this great work of grace, you have never failed to stand with me as I have defended and stood firm for the gospel, even from this prison cell. Before God, I want you to know how much I long to see you and to love you with the affection of the Anointed One, Jesus. And here's what I pray for you. Father, may their love grow more and more in wisdom and insight, so they will be able to examine and determine the best from everything else. And on the day of the Anointed One, the day of his judgment, let them stand pure and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness that ripens through Jesus the Anointed. All this I pray with a view to God's ultimate praise and glory. Amen.
Yeah, the voice is a little bit more than a translation. You might have picked that up. They add a few bits in here and there, a little bit of comment, but some of the key parts are interesting. So, we're carrying on with Army Barmy season, and I begin this morning with a direct quote from William Booth, the beginning of which many of you will be familiar with, but the full quote stopped me in my tracks as I prepared for this message this morning, and I hope it will make you think too. Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come here. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world. Victorian language, but a stark picture. There's still a lot of work to be done. There's still a lot of people who need to hear the gospel and be transformed by Jesus Christ. So today, as I've already said, is Candidate Sunday in the Salvation Army. And traditionally, this day has always been focused on the calling to officership, but more recently has broadened to all forms of leadership. And leadership, I suspect, for many, is a scary word. But it needn't be, because at its most basic, leadership simply means taking responsibility. And that is a central facet of my own calling. I could see the church struggling. I could see the army declining. So rather than sit on the sidelines bemoaning what I saw around me, I sensed that my limited gifts would be best used at being part of the solution. So what frustrates you? What disappoints you in the world? What saddens you? How could you make a difference? Where do you want to see change? What situations just need to be grasped by the scruff of the neck? Where would you like to see the glory of Christ magnified? Well, I suspect if these questions resonate with you, and if you've got answers to these questions in your mind, then you are called. So what is God calling you to? This morning I want to share what I'm going to call, for purposes of today, the four C's of calling, to help us put calling into its correct context. First C, Creator. The theme verse for Candidate Sunday over the last couple of years has been Philippians 1 verse 6 from the Voice paraphrase, as we've already heard this morning. I am confident that the Creator, who has begun such a great work among you, will not stop in mid-design, but will keep perfecting you until the day of Jesus the Anointed, our liberating King, returns to redeem the world. One of the most amazing experiences in life, I think, is to hold a newborn baby. And newborn babies, and we've had that experience recently, haven't we, of course? And newborns are absolutely fascinating. And in a sense, you're witnessing kind of the perfection, I think, of creation, though that feeling does wane in the middle of the night. But in these early days, we see a perfect example of our Creator God in action. And indeed, from the moment of conception, God has been doing his work in the secret of the mother's womb. In Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, these verses might already be appearing in your mind, we read, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And I love that imagery of knitting together. It shows something of the intricacy of what's going. And I think it's important to note here, right now, that what God is doing does not just apply to our physical being. God has been involved from the very beginning into the very construction, the very formation of everything that we are. And this is reinforced, I think, in today's Bible reading. God's work of creation doesn't stop at giving us life. We are part of his creation. We are loved. And God gives us a sense of purpose. And this knowledge can transform us. And it leads us to play a part in God's work on this earth. The second C, Creator, commitment. So we live in a world that is very transient. Everything seems to be changing all the time, and the pace of that change seems to be accelerating. And it seems to me that in this context, people are unwilling to commit. And we've heard these verses that I'm about to read repeatedly over the last few weeks, and I wonder if God is trying to tell us something. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Jesus spent much of his ministry turning perceptions and understandings upside down. Self-denial doesn't sound particularly attractive today, and I doubt that it felt inviting in Jesus' time. Nonetheless, following Jesus comes at a cost. So it cannot be done without commitment. The third C, creator, commitment, confidence. In this passage, Paul is bold about declaring the confidence he has placed in God. So I wonder this morning, where do you place your confidence? We often place our trust in others, don't we? But we know that as human beings, we all have the potential to disappoint and let down. Perhaps your confidence is in your pension pot or your savings account. Where do you place your confidence? Paul, towards the end of his letter to the Philippians, writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This does not mean that we can do absolutely anything all the time. Rather, this verse provides us with the reassurance that God will give us what we need to do what he requires of us when we need to do it. So our confidence is found in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Creator, commitment, confidence, and finally continuance. And this is the weakest one of the lot in terms of the alliteration. It's always the case. There's always one alliteration. It's absolutely rubbish. But I just want you to have a look around you. A look around you. And I want you to let me know if you see anyone that is perfect. I'm not asking the romantics in the room, by the way. I'm asking the realists. Have a look around you. Do you see anyone that's perfect? There isn't a mirror. Goodness me. Goodness me, John. You're ambitious in your claims. No, but we know full well. We know full well, don't we, that no one is perfect. We know that we're never going to get everything right all the time. And we know that we will make mistakes. However, God calls us to aim for perfection, for completeness. That's what we talk about when we're talking about perfection in the context of the Christian faith. It's not about being better than you, because funnily enough, that would be sinful, wouldn't it? But perfection is that completeness, that wholeness, being the person that God created us to be, being that person that God created humankind to be. That's our aim. Our aim is completeness in God's strength. I am confident that the Creator, who has begun such a great work among you, will not stop in mid-design, but will keep perfecting you until the day Jesus the Anointed, our liberating King, returns to redeem the world. In the last few weeks or so, I've started practicing the cornet again. The results, the evidence of that are still kind of difficult to hear, but I've been practicing mainly in the hope that I'll strengthen my lungs a little bit and kind of try and knock these kind of colds, repetitive colds on the head. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm kind of enjoying it. Thanks for your support. But this has reminded me, as I practice, as I've picked up my cornet again, this has reminded me of a maxim that musicians share together often. Don't practice until you get it right. Practice until you never get it wrong. Because we too, in this Bible reading, Philippians 1:6, it reminds us of this. We are works in progress. And God continues to call us to become the best versions of ourselves. So our perceived weaknesses or flaws that we might see in ourselves have to be viewed in this lens. We are still work in progress. There might be things that I can't do today, but by God's grace and by faithfulness to him, well, one day I might be able to do it. And I think this is a really important safeguard, because in the context of calling, I see two things. I see people who go, no, I'm not good enough for this. I'm too old. I'm not clever enough. I can't preach. I can't do this. I can't do that. And then on the other hand, I see, well, don't you know I'm doing the church a favour by my wonderful ministry? You know? But none of us are perfect. We're all in this journey. So if you think you've got it, well, you don't, because there's still more to come. And if you think you've got nothing to offer, well, trust in God, because it's going to happen. It's going to come. The church, the gospel tells us this. The New Testament tells us this repeatedly. Ephesians chapter 6, we've been given everything. We've been given all the giftings. All the giftings that the church require are in this room right now. The evangelists are here. The shepherds are here. The teachers are here. We're all here. We're all here. But we don't believe it. And we don't try to develop it. We're all here. It's all here. The perfect balanced church is in this room. It is. If we trust in God, if we trust in ourselves, if we commit, if we trust, if we have confidence, if we place our confidence, it's all here. And on that very topic, because surprise, surprise, I've gone off script again. And on that very topic, we like to ignore this verse. Here's a verse we like to ignore, because it says something very similar. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God, his divine power, has given us everything we need for godly living. Do we believe it? Do we trust it? Do we know that God has this plan? So today we focused on the four C's of calling. God is our creator, and he has created us for a purpose. He calls us to commit to him at the expense of everything else. Because of Christ, we can face whatever comes our way with confidence. And finally, we are still works in progress. God continues to work in us to equip us for holy living and service. So I finish this morning with a simple question. What is God calling you to? We're all called. We're all called. We just need to be more specific about our response. If Christ has touched us and we are unsatisfied with something, Christ has most definitely called us. None of us are finished products. All of us have flaws. All of us have excuses. But Christ will equip us. What is God calling you to this morning? And to bring our time to a close, I'm going to add a final C to today, a final fifth C. And it's simple. In this chorus that we're going to sing, this song, we're going to sing, Jesus, be the center. When Jesus is the center, all the rest falls into place, doesn't it? And it's when we push Jesus away from the center that things seem to be out of kilter, out of balance. When Jesus is the center, we'll know where we're going. We'll know what we've got to do. We'll trust that he'll equip us. And then we're left with no other choice than to go. We're all called. So whether or not we respond, let's sing this song, Glenys. Let's sing together.
Jesus, be the center. Be my source, be my light, Jesus. Jesus, be the center. Be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in me sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my power. Be my guide, Jesus. Be the fire, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the way.
I wonder what God is calling you to. As General Frederick Coutts might say, there's no discharge in this war. And I think by God's grace, we've all got something to offer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I suppose that's our prayer this morning, that you would be the center. And we know, Lord, in those periods of our life when we've followed you most closely, that and when you have indeed been the center, that things seem to fall in place and perhaps make a little bit more sense than they do usually. So, Lord, we want you to be the center of our being and of our doing. Because that's when we will have clarity as to the calling that you have placed on each and every one of us. So Lord, I pray as we leave this place this morning that we won't forget what's been said and that we will mull over it and that you will speak to us each and that you'll challenge us or nudge us or whatever it is that we need doing to respond to you. I make this prayer in and through the glorious name of Jesus Christ, in whom we find our in whom we find meaning. Amen. And we close with a song by Stuart Townend, "Oh Church Arise and Put Your Armour On." Near that imagery again, that God prepares us, that God provides us with the equipment to do what he needs us to do. Doesn't leave us alone, he doesn't abandon us, he can use us. Because by his grace he is with us. Let's stand if we are able and join together in song. Let's read it together. So, Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear their call and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. It's wonderful to be reminded that the Salvation Army does not have the monopoly on military imagery, because the New Testament does. So that's quite cool. But what a call, what a battle cry, as we are about to go our separate ways. Let me bring the final benediction. May God, who began the good work within you, continue to be at work in your life, bringing everything to completion on the day when Christ Jesus comes back again. May your love for others overflow more and more, and may you keep growing in your knowledge and understanding. Never forget what really matters, so that you may live a pure and blameless life until Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For living this way will bring much glory and praise to God. Amen.